Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
The Survivor Specialist, Phil and Alexa, are back. That's right, Alexa is back for the first time in, I honestly don't know when. When was the last time you podcast me? Was it 48 or 47?
It was a finale, right? Was it the
finale of 47, wasn't it?
I think it was the 47 finale. That's crazy.
Long time. I know. Hey. We had you jump in, do a whole bunch during then, and now here you are, and Survivor 50 gets announced, and Alexa all of a sudden starts tweeting out or Instagramming paragraphs in her story, and I was like, this isn't the Alexa I know. What the hell is going on here? So I texted you, and I was like, what's going on? And you were like, I want to talk about 50. And I'm like, all right, let's talk about 50. I think you texted us during our cast assessment or something, but am I right on that?
You are right. So there's a few things here. So one, I've always tried, well, maybe not always, but in recent years, I've tried to keep my Instagram's private. I don't really post about Survivor much. Everyone who talks to me knows how I feel about Survivor, but I don't really post it that much. But then I'm like, I'm riding the subway to work. This is like, maybe 3 months ago. riding the subway. I'm like zoning out. And someone comes up to me, someone who I've met at a few Bryson Wendell events. And it's late right now. And we've met so many times and I actually forget his name. So if you're listening, I'm so sorry, but you know who you are. I feel like such a jerk. But he came up to me and he was like, have you heard about the like rumored cast for 50? And I'm like, what planet do I live on that I don't know this? So then and I was like, I don't know. And he was like, Amanda might be on it. And I almost like pulled to the emergency brake. I was like, there's no way Amanda is going to be on Survivor. So that's when I texted you, Phil. I was like, dude, where's Amanda? And you were like, me and Tegwith are live podcasting right now. I'm telling everyone mm-hmm. that you text me. So I came out of the woodwork because I heard Amanda was here. So I'm a little disappointed, but that's what got me back into the like subculture, for lack of a better term. I've been watching, not super religiously, like I try to watch every Wednesday. I followed 48, but I've been trolling on Reddit, but that's about it. And I haven't been paying a lot of attention to 50 other than the voting that I've been doing. And yes, Phil, I have been following your instructions. I've been voting appropriately. But yeah, I'm back in. But then as the Amanda rumors started to dwindle, I got pretty sad. Was that a chance? Was there ever a chance?
I mean, I think everybody was
bummed. Am I not supposed to talk about that?
No, I think there was a chance. I mean, somebody just posted a picture with like her and her two dogs or something. And it's like the first picture people have of Amanda since like whatever. the rumor, and look, this is a rumor. This is all hearsay. And this is probably just the internet doing their thing. But it's like the rumor is she very much was in the final running. And the rumor is that she didn't want to be on a season with Ozzy, which I totally understand. So I could see that being part of the reason. Now, granted, that could just be a rumor. I don't want to start spreading nonsense, but there might be something to that. We'll see what ends up happening. That would have been certainly a cast connection, because this is going to be a cast connection podcast, as you can tell by the image there. Really, the cast connections is an excuse for Alexa to come on and talk about this cast. But I mean, Amanda seemed very much like she was in it. Elizabeth Hasselbeck seemed like she was in it. I know Courtney went on and did her little, she did like a cameo where she said, I was in the mix or whatever.
Oh, I watched that.
I still don't feel like Courtney was going to play. Like every part of me feels like Courtney would have backed out just like she did kind of during Fans vs. Favorites. And that's not a knock on Courtney. I love Courtney. I just don't think she really cares all that much about Survivor in the way that some of these other players do. So, here you go. Survivor archivist Sharon Tharp confirmed today that Amanda dropped out late because of scheduling conflicts, air quotes.
Interesting. I have a question. Who's Sharon Tharp?
Yeah, that's a great question.
Great. Okay. So
I mean, honestly, and I think I've seen the name. The biggest problem for me is I literally just don't look. I don't listen to really other podcasts, right? Like, I just don't. It's tough.
Our most toxic trait is we only listen to ourselves, and as we should.
I don't even listen to myself. That's the worst part. That's the most toxic part about me is I don't even listen to myself.
No, that's healthy. I was like driving back with a group of friends. I was driving somewhere with a group of friends 3 weeks ago, and it like came up that I used to do this podcast, and they were like, can we pull up an episode? And I was like, get me out of this car. I swear to God, I could never. But that's interesting about the Aussie thing. I think I can't imagine the last time that they spoke, but if that's the case, then that's just like sucks for all parties and sucks for me because I don't get to see Amanda. But I have been enjoying the like players coming out and saying that they were in the mix. I think it's one of those things though, where people have been in the mix for probably a year and a half. So if someone was like, I was in the mix 1 year ago, it sounds like there were maybe 200 people. Like was Danielle involved? I'm actually surprised that she was that she was in conversations, but then also I'm like, yeah, give me Danielle for a third time. Why the hell not?
Yeah. Going into Sharon Tharp here, she's actually the news publisher for Parade. So I think she's Bloom's publisher, which I just didn't know until 5 seconds ago. I feel like there's a lot of people who are in the mix for this, and like what they chose. When you look at the image here, like I do think it's kind of annoying that so many of the new era players are so connected, but then at the same time, it's like, how are they not going to be? The older school players, they're on an island, which I don't necessarily think is a bad thing for them. But so like I don't know. There's a lot of people who are in this mix. I really believe that Amanda was in there, like Sharon Darp is saying. I think that there's a lot of people who are in the mix who were probably cut late. It looks like Penner was cut very late, all of that. At the end of the day, it's like, we have who we have. These are the cast members. We did a snubs video. If you haven't listened to that, go check out our snubs video. We're doing, and now like we're starting to dive in. And what's funny is we're doing an entire series now where we're pre-recording all these episodes of like everything you need to know about whoever. And what's very fascinating is the more that I'm talking about this cast, the more I'm starting to be like, who's going to use who as a shield? Mm-hmm. Who's actually a threat here? Who's this? And I actually feel like they did a pretty good job of compiling this cast, way better than I felt initially. I mean, when I saw this first cast, when it was initially dropped, I think it was my first day of vacation, right? Like I'm on vacation and it's like, we have now spoiled the cast. I looked at it and I felt nothing. Most people are like, nothing. Oh, I hated it. Or some people were like trying to pretend they loved it. I felt nothing. I was just like, what is this cast? Mm-hmm. And now that we're talking about it more and more and more and more, I feel like there's so much to like about it. And that's why I am actually, if you look at this, the thumbnail that Austin made for this, where it like actually shows who's connected to who, it's got the people grouped over by what season they were on and things like that. There's a lot to like about what we could see here, even though it's really hard not to sit here and say, what are we missing? Where's our Amanda? Where's our Penner? Where's this? Where's Danielle? Because yeah, I mean, the last time we saw Danielle play Survivor, she was getting just assaulted by Russell verbally at that tribal council. And it was like, goodbye. But
yeah,
you know.
If I'm Danielle, I don't want to come back, but I agree with you. And in a way, I actually agree with your assessment of like, I felt nothing. I felt confused and I had, you know, obviously read spoilers before I went on my Instagram rant, but that was honestly, that was sort of what triggered me posting on Instagram about it too, because I never post about this stuff and I haven't had a platform to speak my mind mm-hmm. because not all my friends want to hear about it. And I got so much reception on these, like, I was like, you know, phone on your chest, like upside down Cheetos all over the couch. And I was just like rage posting. And I was like, you know what, this, like, it's hard because it's not what I wanted in any way, shape or form. It has so little of what I want, but I'm so happy for them. And this group of 24 did nothing wrong. And so part of me was also like, I'm so happy for them. And I'm like, a lot of people are like, or a lot of people from what I've been reading, it's like, why is Tiff coming back? Like, I actually loved Tiff. I'm kind of excited to see her again. I have been waiting for Chrissy to come back. I'm super excited about that. Jenna Lewis is certainly not who I expected to be our season one representative or our season 1 through 10 representative. But I think it's really cool that she's going to play with Mother Veve, which we call her, I think, who I love. I'm so excited to see her again. So there is a lot that I am excited about. I empathize and agree with the frustration of like, 45 to 49. And I definitely like share people's sentiments on 48 and 49. When it comes to just like the sheer number of people. But like you said, it's what we have. And it's certainly not a bad cast. It's just a like, what kind of cast?
Yeah. Like Will said, there's not many 10 out of 10s on this cast. That's Will's biggest complaint is that there's not a lot of 10 out of 10s. There's a lot of people I'm excited to watch, but there's not a lot of 10 out of 10s. So the last season you podcasted with me was 45. We did the 45 finale and then Alexa, you know, vanished, came in for a couple episodes during 46, a couple episodes during 47. You actually didn't come in for anything during 48. And that wasn't really purposeful. That just kind of happened.
Yeah.
But do you think that like the producers were like, well, Alexa did 41 to 44. She suffered through that. She fought through every day. Phil and her almost quit numerous times. Let's reward her by giving her one person from those four seasons that she absolutely sludged her way through. Like, why are we getting one person there? And that leaves Jonathan Young. It's like, we're talking about connections. Is he the worst connected person on this cast? Because he played 42 and nobody he's with is on the season.
It's crazy. He probably is like the largest swing. Actually, that can't possibly be true. But he feels like he has the largest swing of people on like both sides of his season number where he doesn't have anybody. And I also, you know, I I hope that we don't get what we got in Winners at War, where like everything is decided before they go out on the island. And I imagine that we won't. And I actually think that's it's beneficial because there's going to be a mix of old and new. But I'm chronically online. I'm aware that all these, you know, especially the new era, they're all hanging out all the time. And I'm so jealous of them. But they're all, a lot of these people are hanging out all the time, it feels like. Jonathan is not one of them, I think, because Jonathan doesn't live near them.
In Alabama / Florida panhandle.
Yeah, like, and he's volunteering and stuff. Not to say that the others aren't, but like from what I see on his Instagram, that's like where he is. So I don't know if that'll work in his favor because he'll be like a free agent. I also think, you know, I know they're trying to set up for this him versus Ozzy thing, but I don't really think there's going to be a competition there.
I mean, Ozzy's Ozzy's 43 now, right? Ozzy's a little bit older. I mean, I'm not saying that Ozzy's like washed up.
Geriatric.
But yeah, Ozzy's just a little bit older. So I feel like, you know, that's an interesting point you bring up of on either side, right? Because Devin's has the 37 crew and the 37 crew has Devin's. Jonathan doesn't have anybody from 39, 40 or 41. And then he doesn't have anybody from 43 or 44. So he's got two on one side, three on the other. Stephanie has Sari. Ozzy's right there. That was his first season. Coach was 18. So maybe you could say Coach is the only one who's worse connected. Because Coach goes from 18 to Aubrey, and then on the other side, it's down to Ozzy. Wow. So he's the worst, but also he's played with a lot of the people. So I think that's a really, really interesting point. And Daryl Seymour here says, Jonathan hangs out with Boston Rob. He does. He hangs out with Boston Rob.
That's cool.
And he hangs out with Mike Turner a lot from his season. It seems like that's who he's close with. Neither of those people are on this season. And honestly, Boston Rob's not that well connected with the people who are on this cast. In a way that could really help Jonathan, in my opinion.
Hold on. So there's Coach and then Aubrey. That is the chronological. That's crazy. I know I like wrote that, but that in practice is bananas.
I mean, we literally skip, I would argue, two massive portions of Survivor because I think that 21, I mean, 19 is what... 19 is with Russell, but like 21 through 24 is one thing, even through 26 you could say, and then all of a sudden, or really 26 through 29 is a different thing.
Goodness.
So yeah, it's crazy that it's Coach to Aubrey here, your favorite from 38, who you believed in the whole time and always said was going to win, is here.
Oh my god, hi.
I'm bringing up the past, Lauren. I'm doing it for you.
Hi.
Alex is back.
Don't worry, I still lose sleep over that.
So we have that's a massive gap. And I think that's kind of crazy, but Jonathan's the only one of those people who hasn't played on a season with any of these people. Like Aubrey's been on with Devin's. Coach has been on with Sari and Colby. So he like knows these people. It's just, wow. Here's Jonathan sitting here, season 42. Yeah. And you, like you and I so much. And like, I've talked about this a lot on the podcast now, but like season 41, we were like, man, we might be done. And then season 42 happened and we were like, we really might be done. And then I almost died during season 43. Yeah. So then it was like, well, this is fun. What are we doing for season 43? And we like suffered through. And I was like, well, that was pretty good. We both kind of liked the ending of that. Mm-hmm. Or at least like the buildup, and it was surprising. At least it was different. Season 44 was whatever. And it's just like funny when you think about those seasons, and obviously everybody's frustrated with Carolyn and Jesse and all that, but is there somebody that you think of where you're like, they could have thrown Jonathan a bone and put this person on there with him as well. And that, you know, that you're saying, man, I really wish they were there.
Yeah. I think, Omer would have been a really popular pick. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much you guys have talked about like winners versus non-winners, but I think Mary, I love Dee and Kyle actually, to be clear, but Marion and Gabler, like put them on an island together. Like, don't tell me that's not going to be great.
Yeah.
You know, but also I think when it comes to both Omer and Marion, there was enough of a relationship there with Jonathan, but maybe there isn't like a present relationship, or at least not one that I see on social media. So I feel like that could have been a bone to throw. Or like a Xander, again, adjacent season, like very, very, me being very generalistic here, but like similar enough archetype. I'm actually really surprised to not see Xander on here now that I said his name out loud.
Is that because Lauren's in the chat and you're just going back to the glory days now?
Oh, season my 41? Gosh. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, my favorite season.
We're reliving the one fun thing about that season was Lauren being like, I'm coming on the podcast. Lauren, what's up?
Hey, Lauren. No,
let's actually talk about our glory days here. We started with Jonathan. Jonathan's got no connections. He doesn't come to the events. He doesn't go to Ron Clark. He's not anywhere. Like, I haven't seen him at anything. I know that he hangs out with some people, but it seems like he's disconnected, right? But let's actually go to our glory days, right? Of 37, of 38. Like, those seasons where a lot was going on. What do you think about the David versus Goliaths? And do you think that these are going to be people who play together if they get the chance? Do you think they're even going to get the chance? Or do you think they're too big of threats and they're all going to go pre-merge? Like, how do you see that going with that group, considering David versus Goliath? Some would argue is the last great season of Survivor, and we haven't had a great season since David versus Goliath.
Yeah, I'm nervous for them. I don't know why I'm doing this, but I loop Chrissy in to them. I think I guess I'll get to her in a minute because I'm super excited about her. But yeah, I'm nervous for the David versus Goliath crew because, like you said, they feel like a level of legendary might be too strong, but they feel like a level of lore that a lot of that the new era just frankly does not have. The White Lotus thing is obviously a completely different beast. I think I don't know people's lives, but I imagine that Mike White has not been able to hang out with a lot of these people because he has been quite busy. But Angelina famously was on the White Lotus. So I imagine that the two of them are either going to be close or be perceived to be close. So that actually makes me really nervous about Angelina. However, Angelina is someone, along with Chrissy, who I am the most excited to see because I see the highest amount of growth season over season for the two of them.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Angelina, I think the sky is the limit for her on this season. I was saying that even after David versus Goliath, like, I met Angelina at the finale for that season. Cool. And then also at 38, right? She was around for the 38 finale as well. And I just remember Angelina, when you meet her in person, you're like, wow, that's not the person that we saw edited on TV of like this, like she was edited as awesome. A villain. Right. And that's just like, not what you get. And so I do feel like she has a lot of room to go up. And I remember saying that after Dave versus Goliath, and everybody's like, you're an idiot. And now it's funny because now all of a sudden everybody's like, Angelina has a chance to win this. And I'm like,
yeah,
you know, when you're just too early to these things, people just don't trust you. They don't
can't
believe
be too early of an adopter, you know?
Right. And I just felt like Angelina always had a chance. I mean, somebody over here says that Mike is absolutely going to work with Christian and Angelina if he gets the chance. I think so too. And I think David versus Goliath might be one of the closest casts, and that might have to do with Mike White, because Mike White giving them these cameos and letting them do these different things. You know, Angelina's on season two. Christian has a cameo on season three.
Wait,
clearly
what?
They're feeling pretty good about Mike White. Yeah, you didn't know that.
Where was he in season? Carl and Natalie were on season three.
That's in the first episode. I think it's like episode five or six or something. It's in the episode with Sam Rockwell, I think.
What was he doing?
Yeah, I know. I think they're just sitting on a chair at a party. But
okay, I'll look that up later. But
yes. So that's a connection. Yeah. But here's what I'm trying to figure out, because you were saying I'm almost lumping Chrissy in, but I have a different theory for where Chrissy's connections are here, and we're gonna get to that. My question to you is, like, Angelina, Christian, Mike, do they have connections with anybody else on the show right now? Or are they kind of isolated too?
Say that again, Angelina and Mike. Sorry, I was Googling.
Angelina, Mike, and Christian, they have connections with each other, but do they have connections really with anybody else? Or is it really isolated to just that season? Like, do they talk to Devins? I don't know.
Yeah. I also, in talking about this, I forgot that Christian and Mike actually had kind of a secret alliance throughout their season as well. So I'm nervous for them because they're definitely going to be the closest trio, other than, like, obviously Kyle, Camilla, and Joe, but they're not going to have the same lore because that's the last thing people saw. Rick, I don't know, because Rick feels very involved in the scene, like, to me, but I don't know. I think he's, like, because he did On Fire and he's just, like, a really popular name. I don't necessarily know if he has, like, connections with other people. I feel like he very appropriately, like, went on the show, then, like, kind of did his thing for a bit, then did On Fire. I don't see him as being, like, extremely around, and I that could work to his benefit. I think he's someone that, like, if he came back too close to when he first went on, he would have been in a lot more trouble.
Yeah, I agree with that. And people are talking about Christian has, this is Sam Carl, Christian knows Emily through RHAP. Cool Boys Tom, Christian has Emily. Like, everybody's saying Christian has Emily. So maybe Christian's more connected through RHAP, but I don't think that Mike and Angelina have popped up at all. I mean, Angelina, I know that they did the podcast with Drop Your Buffs? Is that who it is? I know that they did that interview a while ago with them. Mike and Angelina did it together. But other than that, like, Angelina, you would have thought would have been all over the place. And instead she was like, I'm going to go, like, raise a family and just kind of hang out in San Diego. Like, I'll see you guys later.
Yeah.
And so I don't think that she's really overly connected with some of these people. And if she is, like, it might be, I haven't seen you in a long time, what's up? As opposed to, oh, wow, you're at everything. And that's what I'm going to get to with Chrissy here in a second, because I think Chrissy has a good chance of coming into this game with a lot of preseason alliances. But Angelina and Mike, I'm not really getting that.
Yeah. So who do you think Chrissy is aligned with? I feel so good about her. I obviously loved her in her season. But so I'm glad you feel similarly. Who is she connected to?
Or do you just think because
she's, like, kind of maybe at the Angelina effect?
She's in the New York scene, and I think that really helps her, because I think that since Bryce and Wendell started throwing these finales in New York on a consistent basis, which I know they did it for 44, I know they did it for 46, I know they did it for 48, I think they did it for 47. Like,
yeah.
Since they started doing it so consistently in New York, and I might be wrong on one of those, I don't, like, stalk them that much, but if since they've been doing that, that allows the people who are in that area, in that vicinity, to go to all this stuff, right? Like, at the 44 finale, I ran into Julie Rosenberg. I hadn't seen Julie Rosenberg in God knows how long. Dom Abate was there. Chrissy was there. And I talked to Chrissy. Like, it was great. And I think Chrissy being able to go to those things makes it so that she's probably talking to some of these new era people a little bit more than people are going to give her credit for. Like, Colby and Jenna, they're not talking to anybody coming in. Ozzy's going to Ron Clark. He's talking to people. So for me, I don't know exactly who Chrissy's going to have, but I know that she has spoken with people in the new era before they came on to this season. And I think that those relationships are going to have some sort of impact when she gets out there. She's isolated because she's season 35. Nobody else from her season. Aubrey and Rick have played together, have been on the edge together. David versus Goliath. Obviously, we have all three people we just talked about, so they're all together. Chrissy is kind of the outcast of that group, but she's been going to things. Like, I saw her at an event in real life. It's not like Chrissy's just like, oh, I'm gonna go to this event, I'm not gonna talk to anybody. Like, that's right. Not exactly what survivors do when they go to these events. So I think that there's a lot that she can gain from some of these new era people. And I'd be curious to see how that's gonna work, because she might be the old school, air quotes, because it's pre-40. She might be like the old school turncoat if worst comes to worst.
Yeah, and I think she's someone who I obviously really like her, but I feel like she's someone who, again, was people felt a lot of different ways about her coming out of her season, but before her season and then in the time after her season, she, like, remained very much a part of the community through all the people saying what they did about her and people not liking her. And she, like, stuck through the community, and a lot of people have not done that for totally valid reasons. And like you said, like, she's around. And I think that also, like, her being around also shows that, like, she loves this game more than anything. She's not above still go, like going to the events and being a part of the community. And so I think that bodes super well for her.
Yeah, I think that's going to be huge for her because, you know, a lot of times when you see these people, they come in as the loner from a season. You know, when you talk about Yao Man coming in from Fiji, going into fans versus favorites, like that wasn't good for him. Cesternino was very much a, Alexa's so excited.
That's my 10 bucks I know. Right there.
Yeah, Alexa, I know. I'm going to Venmo you $9.99 and not a penny more. Worth playing for with the super chat. Alexa, we love you. Hope you're doing well. She's here. I don't know how well she can be doing if she's here at 11 o'clock at night on a Tuesday, but here she is.
Yeah, what's it? I needed someone to talk to about this stuff.
Right. And like Cesternino back in season 8, I just have to remember this because I'm going to forget. It's like he had Jenna, but Jenna quits. So it's like, okay, Cesternino's on an island. And what happens to him? He goes home early. Like that's what happens to a lot of these people. So sorry, it's still the thunder of worth playing for here. Let's focus on this a little bit. Stephen Holt's telling you need to be closer to the mic.
Sorry, hope that's better.
There she is.
I'm sorry, hey, everybody.
She's got to dust off the cobwebs here.
I know. I had to find this mic. I can't even see your mic. Do you just have a loud?
I also scream at the top of my lungs at this point. I'm gonna be like Dick Vitale, where like at some point they're just gonna be like, dude, we got to do surgery on your throat. Good luck. Yeah, okay. Go ahead. What do you got?
No, I was going to say you do have a louder voice than I do. All right, let's look at who else.
Here, I'm going to throw up the picture real quick. Can I throw this up or do you have somebody you really
No, have it up about? Because I'm looking at it too.
So I'm going to throw it up here on the screen. So Austin made this. This is our thumbnail, and I'm just going to throw it up here because this area down here, this bottom part of Devin's all the way over to Jenna, to me, that's the most fascinating part. And that's these colors crisscross. And this is where it's not just seasons together. It's like who played with who never actually was on a tribe with each other, but might have met each other. Like Coach and Colby never actually play together, but they're on a jury together. So they spend time together. Stephanie and Coach never play together, but they're on the same season. So they've seen each other play. Anyway, this is the fascinating part from Devin's, Aubrey, Ozzy, Sari, Coach, Stephanie, Jenna, and Colby. That's a mess.
It's a total mess. Cause I agree with you. Like, yeah, this all technically happened, but like Sari and Coach, I don't think they've like, I just like, don't see that, you know, candidly, I don't really see who Coach works with. I mean, even Coach and Ozzy, they were the stars of South Pacific together. It's like they didn't have chemistry, you know, for complete lack of a better term, not in like the Stephanie and Bobby John, at least like kind of made sense in the way that they did it. Rob and Russell made sense, like Coach and Ozzy. I was like, what are we doing here? So I don't really know who Coach is going to align with. I think like it could be anyone. And I think a lot of New Era people will want to go to him. I don't know if like, he like Coach could be completely different than what he was when he played. But if Sari like wasn't vibing with Coach then, and I don't know if she was or not, but like what's going to make her want to do that now? Everyone's going to want to work with Sari. I have no concerns for her. She's not going to win, but I have no concerns for her making friends.
See, and so people are bringing up, this is where you get into the real stuff here. James Barber, Coach knows Charlie because of Ben's concerts with him. So Charlie and Coach have definitely hung out, spoken in some way, shape, or form, because Ben is really close with Coach and Ben is really close with Charlie. We had the Troyzan Alliance theory coming into Winners at War. You remember this, where we were like, there's all these different players who have played together and they're all connected through Troyzan with Sarah and Tony and all that. Kind of worked out a little bit, right? Like you saw people who had played with him go deep in that game. Kim. This season, there's this theory of the Ben Katzman Alliance, which people would be like, I don't even know what Ben's edit was on his season. Ben doesn't even know what his edit was on his season, right? But then you look at this, played with Q, he played with Tiff, he played with Charlie. He's got Coach recording trumpet on his album. So
that's so cool.
So he's plenty Coach with. I think Coach taught him how to drive. Like legitimately, I think that's a true thing, a real thing that happened. So you have like Ben being connected, and there could be this thing of like, is Ben bringing some people together? Some of his buddies are going to play together. Cause I agree with you. I don't necessarily know who plays with Coach, but Will brought up a point where Will's like, I think Coach wins the season, because who's going after Coach? Nobody. Why would you go after Coach? Coach is, as Russell Hant says during Heroes, Villains, numerous times, Coach is a joke and everybody knows it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're thinking coming in, but maybe Coach isn't so much of a joke. He did come close to winning.
I think Q is coming for Coach. Like, I know
they'll be on the same tribe. There's no way they put Coach and Q together, do they?
Do you think they do? I think that's the first thing they do.
That would be insane.
Wait, they don't want to lose them both?
I mean, maybe I just feel like it's like when you look at the cast, it's like every person kind of has somebody who's like their exact, like a replica of them that you would think would go on another tribe. But maybe we will get Q and Coach. If we get Q, Coach, and Emily on the same tribe.
Oh my God.
This season's great. I don't even care.
It's all over in the best way. Yeah, I think they put Q and Coach together because I think, like, I want to see Ozzy versus Jonathan, like, in a challenge, but I want, like, actually, I can't say I want this, but I know that people do want this, like, Q and Coach and presumably Emily to just, like, scream at each other or, like, yell. So I would imagine they would put them on the same tribe. And I was going to say, would that, like, stack them too physically? Because Coach is a very good physical player, but I actually think a lot of the people...
Also this is 53, actually though.
Fair. Very, yeah, very true. A lot of people here feel like they're good at challenges too, now that I'm looking at
it. I think they did a really good job. I've talked about this a lot, and, you know, people are going to get tired of me talking about Colby. But it's like they did a good job of the old school players who don't necessarily play strategic games. There's enough new era people that would align with them, right? Like, sure. Like Joe is a great example of that. Jonathan's a great example of that. I think Charlie's a great example of that. And that's not to say that these people don't have strategic chops. They just play a different game. They're willing to play a little bit quieter of a game. Whereas Camilla's in the Exit Press interview I did with Camilla, she's like, I wanted to blow everything up. I wanted to make so many moves. I was bored. And she's like, I wanted to go to Rock so many times, but Kyle kept talking me out of it. So it's like, you know, I do think that they're like, you're right. I think there's a lot of people who are physical where like Coach and Q being on the same tribe, that's a lot different than putting Jonathan and Joe on the same tribe. That would be ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah. So is Joe the Colby? Is Joe the new era Colby? Is Joe our mirror? Like the loyal, the challenge guy?
Yeah, and then Jonathan is kind of your where would he fit? Like your Ozzy, where he's willing to cut you. But I don't know, because Jonathan played a really straightforward game too.
Yeah, and then Coach and Q. Rick and Mike White.
And Mike White, I think, are similar in terms of great, you know, really good confessional givers. Media trained.
Yeah, media trained. And then what's left? What other men do we have? Okay, we've got Charlie
and Kyle feel like they'd pair off. This is what I'm saying. There's really duos here, right?
Yeah.
Like Ozzy and Colby fit as a duo. Coach and Q fit as a duo. I think when you're doing, and I would bet you Rizzo, whatever his name is, that's probably your counter to Christian, because this guy's been playing ORGs and stuff. He's like friends with Alex Trios. So he does all this stuff, who's a patron of ours and everything like that. And he does the podcast over on Reality After Show at Fairplay. Like, I'm pretty sure Rizzo's friends with him. So when you look at this, it's like, those are probably your two like nerdier guys. It feels like there is a pair for everybody. But are they going to have those pairs get together, or are they going to try to separate everybody? That's what the question is.
Yeah. So what's up with the 49 people?
I don't know. You, do you know?
Dude, I don't know. I can't even say this kid's nickname. I cannot justify that. I cannot give that more airtime than it has received.
Somebody in our comments, we put out the Ozzy video the other day of everything you need to know about Ozzy. And they said, I have foreseen an alliance of Riz God and Oz God.
I love that. Actually, I hate that, but yeah.
I mean, yeah, I hate that. I mean, my favorite was right when this cast got announced, somebody was like, imagine Colby having to be like, I think we should vote out Riz God.
Yeah,
like that's a what? Sentence that has to be said.
Right. And my favorite thing to tell people is like, Survivor is a time warp. Like you should go back and watch like what they were saying about people in 2004. And like, now we're calling people the Riz God. I just, where did we turn wrong? Yeah. But yeah, I think that's definitely, I mean, the I'm not saying anything people aren't already saying, but the 49 stuff is definitely like the hardest pill to swallow. And honestly, like it sounds like I enjoyed 48 more than most people did, but I'm happy that Camilla's coming back. I think like, I loved Kyle, but I don't know. It's just too soon.
Well, and that's, I feel like Camilla's a 10 out of 10 casting choice because Camilla really does have a lot of game. And I think like her game in 48 is awesome.
Yeah. And she's got more to show too.
But she could absolutely be Yao Man, right? Like where it's just like, well, you were really strategic and you're the thing that we remember. You're scary. Bye-bye.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think people are going to like push to get Joe out though. I think people are going to play with him.
Yeah. So my thing with Joe, Kyle, Camilla, same thing with Christian, Mike, and Angelina, same thing with Tiffany, Charlie, and Q. I don't think any of the trios will be together. Like Stephanie, Colby, Sari are going to be split up, right? Mm-hmm. There's going to be one of each of them on a tribe. If you were starting these tribes, it's Christian, Angelina, Mike are on one tribe each. Stephanie, Sari, Colby are on one tribe each. And then Sari's not going to be with Ozzy or Aubrey. Aubrey's not going to be with Devins. Mm-hmm. Kyle, Joe, and Camilla aren't going to be on the same tribe, right? Like, that's the easiest way to kind of start this. Joe, I'm curious about, because Joe didn't really go to events during his season at all, right? He went to the premiere, but he wasn't at Ron Clark. He did go to the Mitch event in Austin, in Texas. So he was at that. But I wonder if Joe is well connected with anybody. And I'm very curious how this starting tribe is going to go for Joe on this season. Mm-hmm. Because if they put him on a tribe with, they're not going to put him with Jonathan, but let's say they put him with Colby. Joe and Colby are going to get along famously. Like yeah. Colby's 51, Joe is 45. They're the same era. They're the same kind of guy of, you know, let's go be loyal and let's just win challenges and let's just like not be pains in the asses. Mm-hmm. They're going to get along. So I think that's what it'll come down to, because I don't know that Joe is out networking with people. Whereas like Kyle's in your neck of the woods, right? He's in like that Brooklyn area. He's out and about. He's kind of got the Chrissy thing. Like I could point out and be like, I know Kyle's met Ozzy because they were both at Ron Clark this year. Like I know that he's met, I mean, obviously he knows the people from his cast, but like, I'm sure that he's met Charlie. Like I'm sure that I know he's met Q. So I think Kyle's got a lot there. Camilla, same thing. Joe, though, I am curious about. I don't know if Joe has other connections.
Yeah, I didn't realize that Joe wasn't really around much in his season. So that's going to be interesting. And can you remind me, like, how does 49 fit into this in terms of their filming schedule? So they filmed, we haven't seen it.
Nobody has seen a thing.
No one's seen anything. So they were
2 weeks in between, I think, 3 weeks.
Oh, okay. So they've just filmed and then they went back out. So yeah. I can't say they're going to be screwed, because actually the people who kind of do these back-to-backs, I feel like end up doing pretty well, but I'm going to be honest. I don't imagine that they're going to do very well.
Here's how I'm looking at this. And we got to get back to this bottom again, because we didn't solve this. We didn't untie this knot, but here's how I look at this. Sari, Colby, Stephanie, Coach, all played on Heroes versus Villains. They all played with an unknown in Russell. Russell was the worst case scenario of those unknowns because he was so much different than the other villains. He was so much more mm-hmm. aggressive, and he truly was the type of player you need to be able to see what he does. People always say, JT is the stupidest survivor ever. JT didn't see Russell play, so he doesn't know how dumb he's being giving Russell that thing. It's easy for us because we're like, this is the guy who just screwed over everybody in Samoa. At the same time, when Russell's aligned with you, he kind of just plays with you, but that's neither here nor there. But I think that Colby, Stephanie, Sari, even though Stephanie and Sari didn't make it that far into the game, Colby and Coach, absolutely, they all saw what an unknown can do to dismantle a season. And I think that they're just going to be like, why would we play with these guys? Let's get rid of these guys. I don't care if they're big fans. I don't care if they're nice people. I'm worried about them because they all say, we would have voted out Russell first if we knew what he was like. Well, kind of take that same mentality coming into this. And like, you look at Malcolm in Karamoan, he never really had a chance in Karamoan because he was coming off Philippines. Mm-hmm. They didn't know him. coming into that season, they let him get a little bit, and it ends up being problematic for them in the post-merge portion of the game. So to me, I feel like they're probably going to look to get rid of those two. But at the same time, it's like they're on the season for a reason. Like they right. got cast for a reason. It's got to be more than Jeff just liked them.
Yes, I agree. But then at the same time, I don't know why this cast, I genuinely do not know why this cast was built the way it was. Like, so yes, all these people are individually here on for a reason. I still am trying to figure out why this season is this way. So like, yeah, I mean, obviously they're going to be entertaining. They wouldn't put people who weren't on it. But yeah, I think like that's more of a commentary on the cast as a whole rather than the two of them. So to get back to our tangled mess at the bottom, I did not watch Snake in the Grass. How did Stephanie, I was going to say, like, how did Stephanie do? I like she Stephanie. I'm snake. Really, okay. I'm really excited about, oh my God. Sorry, there's someone in the chat and it's a name I haven't heard in like 1,000 years. It's so exciting. Stephanie, has her gameplay changed is what I'm trying to figure out. Has how she plays, has that, do we think that's changed? Are we going to get like a Chrissy Angelina situation or Colby 3.0?
I think everybody is saying,
to Colby.
Yeah, I mean, everybody in the chat is saying Stephanie did terrible in Snake in the Grass. She wasn't good at it, whatever. She was there with Rachel Riley, and I forget who the other person was. She goes and plays the traitors. I agree with Daryl Seymour here. She was meh on the traitors. She didn't really do much. But then again, Ceree's able to overshadow her because Ceree was a traitor and Stephanie wasn't. So that's the biggest flaw with the traitors as a game is that the traitors are always going to be more entertaining from an entertainment standpoint because we know more about what they're doing and we can get into their heads. Whereas the people who are faithfuls, it's like, I don't know. Like the traitors as a whole, I'm going to keep watching it. I'm going to keep podcasting about it. But the biggest complaint that Will and I got throughout the entirety of our season was like, why do you guys always bitch about this? Like, cause it's broken before it even started.
It's not a good game.
Yeah. So I don't really know what to do with Stephanie here. To me, I doubt she's changing much. I doubt it. Like to me, Stephanie is who Stephanie is, right? She grew up in the same town as my mom and my aunt. I know how those New Jersey women are from that area. She's going to play the same game. Like she's going to be ultra competitive. She's going to have problems with a lot of people on the cast. I just don't see her really changing at all. So
I'm going to be honest. I'm excited to watch her.
I mean, I'm down to watch. I just feel like, you know, like when you look at her connections, she's done so much with Ceree. But if Survivor puts Ceree and Stephanie on the same tribe, everybody's going to be like, that's a duo. Like, what are you doing? To me, it's they've played three things together. They were on Survivor together. They were on the Traitors together. And they were on Snake in the Grass together. So how do you put them on the same starting tribe here? That would be insanity to me.
Yeah, I don't think they'll do that. But other than Ceree, I almost don't consider, well, I don't really consider her and Coach having played together, or her and Colby like kind of, but not really. Like she feels very alone to me other than Ceree. But
Colby was the one who was supposed to go home when she does in Heroes Villains though.
Right. But I feel like Ceree's too busy. Like she's got a lot of people, you know? That, yeah, I get that about her and Colby. I just still, like, I guess here's... Did my mic just mess up?
No, you're good. You're fine.
Okay. I guess I just, like, don't see them working together, even though I know that they did.
Yeah. I know. It's very interesting. And, like, that's, again, like, so Aubrey has played with... Aubrey's actually really well-connected coming into this, which I kind of missed. Because at the beginning, I was like, I think when we did our winner rankings for the players, like Aubrey has no shot, but Aubrey's got connections with Ceree, Ozzy, and Devin, so they can't keep her away from all of them. She played with all of them. I mean, they can keep her away from all of them because they can put Devin's with Ozzy or they can put Devin's with Ceree, but they can't keep her away with all of the connections she can have from having those connections, right? Like if she knows Ceree, maybe she can talk to Stephanie or Colby and use that as a way of being like, I played with Saria. She's scary. I don't want to play with crazy social people. I want to play with physical people that I can predict. Mm-hmm. Hey, Stephanie and Colby, what's up? You guys didn't make like a strategic move in three seasons. So like, hi.
Did she and Rick have much of a relationship in their season? I can't remember.
It was all Edge of Extinction because Aubrey gets voted out before they ever play together.
Mm, okay. Got it.
Yeah. Cause Aubrey's the first comma booted.
Yeah.
So Rick and her never actually play Survivor together, but I'm sure they spent plenty of time talking to each other.
Right. I'm really intrigued by what we're going to, but by Aubrey. I know a lot of people like have felt similarly, or maybe don't. I feel like some people did not like have the best reaction, but I feel like Aubrey's now been away from Survivor for, it seems like she left the scene a little bit. And I think maybe that was a good, I think that was a good thing. Maybe she'll come back like refreshed. That's probably the word I'm looking for. I feel like she played so much so quickly and needed to go like take a sec. And I think this will be good for her, but we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, I think in here, I'll pull this down so we can just talk to each other for a second.
Cause that
image is burning into my brain. I think the thing for Aubrey, and I'll put that up for anybody who's watching a bit, but for Aubrey, it's like her threat level was so high after Koh-Ron.
Mm-hmm.
After Game Changers, people were like, where'd she go? She could have won maybe, but like not really that big of a part of Game Changers.
Mm-hmm.
Then she comes in Edge of Extinction, gets voted out by a group of people who have seen her play, where it's pretty easy to dupe somebody who's played twice when you've never played and they don't know what your game is and blah, 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 blah. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So Aubrey's threat level feels really low coming into this season, but she's connected. As we said here, I'll put it back up. That's as much time as we get looking at each other. Like she's connected with three people. She's connected with people who have played with so many other people. I mean, really, if you go by degrees of separation, Aubrey's connected to 7 people on this cast out of 24. And she's the eighth. That's pretty damn good when you think about like 2 degrees of separation from these people. Mm-hmm. So yeah, maybe she is a bigger threat.
I think she's also a big threat because coming off of Edge of Extinction, she was not a threat, kind of similar to what you were saying. Yeah. I think she also blends in nicely where she's not brand new. Like, people aren't going to be like, she just played, the way they will for literally half this cast. They're not going to say she's a legend in the sense that like next to Sari, Colby, Coach and Stephanie and Ozzy. So she's in this kind of nice position. I'm trying to think of who else I could compare her to on here. Like, I guess maybe Chrissy, like she's in kind of this nice position where she's in she's from some popular seasons. She's not a gigantic threat. She kind of knows everybody. There's plenty of other people to be concerned about before her. And I think that's really huge for her.
Let's do a quick little exercise here. And I'm going to put you on the spot. There are 7 people who have played more than once coming into this season, right? So 7 of the 24 have played more than one time.
Wow.
Rank them in order of who you think is like biggest threat coming into this season to lowest. I'm curious what you think here.
Okay, so can I list these 7 first? So it's
Stephanie, they're all at the bottom.
Are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 biggest threat to lowest?
Yeah,
I think Sari's the biggest threat. I think Colby. Ozzy, Sari, Colby, Ozzy. And then I'd go Coach, Aubrey, Stephanie, Jenna.
So she's on the lower end. And if you honestly think about like legend status, she's probably only above Jenna Lewis out of those 7. So you're already saying like in terms of threat level, she's probably 5th out of 7. Now you think about legend status, she's probably 6 out of 7 just because people at this point have forgotten about Jenna Lewis. It's not a bad place to be in when you're coming into a season where you've been a strategist on a season before and it's worked. It's very interesting. And you're connected. Again, it's just like Aubrey is connected.
Yeah. So, I like this for Aubrey. I like this for her a lot.
Let's talk about another connection down there very quickly, because I want to see what you think about it. Colby and Jenna, they never actually play together. And somebody had said earlier, they probably didn't talk much, but we know that like the first 8 seasons of Survivor were so, for lack of a better word, like incestuous. Like everybody was just together.
Yeah.
Like all the time, like, who are you hanging out with? I only hang out with survivors. Like it was like, yeah, they were so much larger than life that everything was just Survivor. So Colby and Jenna, we haven't actually seen play together, but being on season 1 and 2, the two biggest seasons of the show, like they got to have some sort of relationship, even if they haven't talked in 20 years, right?
I agree. They have to have some kind of relationship. They also will relate the most to each other because, yes, Stephanie hasn't played Survivor in however many years. What was Heroes vs. Villains? 15 years ago at this point? Yeah. Something 12 years ago?
2010.
Oh, my God. That's awful.
We're so old.
That's so crazy. But at least Stephanie has played in, like, The Traitors and Snake in the Grass. Those are very modern games in the sense of reality TV. Ozzy is around. Colby and Jenna are literally, like, speaking a different language, you know, like they do not speak the same language that Kyle and Camilla do. So to me, they're going to be bonded just by like the presumed like shock of the game they're playing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I imagine they have to be bonded for that reason.
I feel like they have to be. And I don't think that they're going to put these two together. I think actually it would be smart. Like if you're talking, you're going to put Q and Coach together. Why not put Colby and Jenna together? Give them a little bit of a shot here. But like Jenna really is kind of an outcast here, even though she has that connection to Colby. It's a barely connection to Colby, at least from a gameplay style. And then that's her only connection. She's on a season with him, but she doesn't have a connection to anybody else. So that will be interesting to see how Jenna does. I think Jenna's coming in with one of the lowest targets, smallest targets on her back. And I think she's going to do very well. I've talked about that a lot. I think she's going to do great.
I am really excited to see Jenna. I don't know if a lot of people are saying that, but I'm so excited.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Jenna, when I saw her on there, I said this in the cast assessment. I said, she is the best decision from season 1. And people like, they want Greg, we want Colleen. But if you get some of those people, you're going to get Wigglesworth 2.0, where it's like, there's not really a game there. She's just, Jenna's going to come out and she's going to play. That's what Jenna does.
I feel
does.
Like Greg and Colleen could not have been more clear in that they don't. From my perspective, they don't want to like, let them do their thing.
I think Greg is a little bit closer to Colleen playing again, but that's just neither here nor there at this point.
Yeah.
Right? But
I don't think either's happening.
Yeah. Let's do this last one. Colby and Coach. They were never on a tribe together. They're on the jury together. And Coach absolutely demolishes Colby in the first challenge of Heroes versus Villains. Do you think there's any chance? I don't think there's. Do you think there's a chance they play together? That they put them on the same tribe?
If they put them on the same tribe, I think they'll try because they have more in common than they do with a lot of other people here. I don't know if they'll, I think it depends on what kind of game Coach is playing, to be honest. I do not imagine that Colby is going to give us anything different than what we've already seen. Coach, I don't know. So I think if Coach plays a less Coach-esque game, then perhaps the two of them could work together. I could see them working together, but maybe not having like the tightest bond. It seems like more out of necessity.
Yeah. And what about Ozzy and Coach? You talked about this a little bit earlier where like they were South Pacific. It's the duo that makes no sense when you look at the duo captain seasons.
I don't see it. And I also don't know if this is my, like my criticism of casting, Ozzy and Sri, I have no faith that we're going to get something different from Ozzy this go around. You know, I think he's going to let people come to him.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And so when you're looking at that bottom and let's just do this for the fun of it before we dive into, we're 55 minutes in and we haven't said the word Genevieve. And I think that the internet's going to kill us. So way to go, Alexa. Way to come and say the wrong things.
I made sure to say Mother Veeve, so I hope that counts.
You did. That's a good point. You just didn't say her real name, but you said her proper name.
Her God-given name.
If you're looking at the way that they're going to put that bottom group onto tribes, just for the sake of fun, because I think that they're going to do 2 pre-40 women and 2 pre-40 men on each tribe. I think that's what it's going to be. And then it's going to be two New Era men and two New Era women on each tribe. If it's not that type of split, I don't know why they did 12 and 12. But so if they do that, do you like, how do you see that group of seven? Throw out Devin's, I guess, not throw Devin's off to the side, but like Aubrey, Ozzy, Sari, Coach, Stephanie, Colby, Jenna. Where does your head go with that of like who's actually going to be paired with who?
I actually bet that they would put Colby and Jenna on the same tribe because I think that the conversation that they have would be really cool to see. And I don't know immediately how long either would last. So I feel like if you put them on separate tribes, there's a chance that the two people from season one and two don't communicate. So I actually imagine that they could be on the same tribe. Sari, I feel like, is so connected with this crew. So I don't know. I wouldn't be shocked if she went either way. Coach and Ozzy, maybe they would put them together because of the South Pacific thing. But then I'm also, my brain says, do they want us to be talking about South Pacific? I don't know, you know? So all that to say, I feel confident in Colby and Jenna being together. Stephanie, maybe they put Stephanie and Coach together, hoping they'll clash.
True.
You know, Aubrey, yeah. I think. Maybe they put Aubrey with Sari.
See, I think what they're probably going to do, because Sari's the most connected, I think they're probably going to do, because you can't put Sari, based on what we're looking at here, you can't put her with Coach, you can't put her with Ozzy, you can't put her with Colby. That limits you in who you can put her with. That means you pretty much have to put her with Rick Devins and then either Christian or Mike White, which to me, it would seem like probably Christian, right? So if you have Christian, Devins, Sari, I think they'd probably put her with Jenna as the other person. And then I think that's where you would get your stacked strength from the New Era of maybe a Jonathan, a Kyle, a Tiffany, and a D or an Emily or something like that. Like I could see that, because I feel like if with how connected Sari is, if you really are trying to separate the people, she has to go with Aubrey or she has to go with Jenna. Now you have used your two women from pre-40. And what men can you go? You can't go Ozzy, you can't go Coach, you can't go Colby. So that leaves you with Devins, Christian, and Mike, and that's it. Who do you pick from that? Got to be one from 37 and Devins. So that's just my take, but I could be wrong, and they could just be like, screw it, let's put Sari and Aubrey together, because how much do they really play together in their season anyway?
Yeah, that's a good point. All right. I love Genevieve. I'm obsessed with her. I'm in line with everyone else on the internet. I have mild to moderate concern for her because she's alone and people are obsessed with her.
I mean, she's coming in with such a target on her back, and I'm going to pull this off since she's not attached, but like she's coming in with such a massive target on her back right now. And she's not that well connected with the other casts. Like she's out in Canada doing her thing. Like I know her cast loves her and they talk about her all the time. Genevieve doesn't, I don't feel like she's somebody who is coming to all of these events and doing that. I'm sure she went to her finale. I'm sure she went to some stuff during her season. I think she went to Nashville for the, for one of the things during season 47, but there's nobody else from 47 on the season. So that requires somebody from 46 or 45 or 48 to have been there and talked to her and build a relationship maybe very quickly. Genevieve's on an island. She's very much on an island.
Maybe she, Emily, and Dee link up. Because honestly, she and Dee, it would be good if she and Dee connected with each other, because they're both going to have big targets on their back. They're the biggest targets. And I wouldn't say they're equal, but they're pretty darn close, you know? And Emily, I think, is in a good situation, because I think people are going to still maybe give her the growth arc that maybe they would look at with like Chrissy and Angelina. But I actually could see Emily and Genevieve working very well together. I could imagine that they're both very smart. I imagine that the two of them would actually make an excellent alliance, separate from the fact that they're both solo from their season.
Yeah. If we're keeping with this kind of like theory that they're going to do, you know, two women now from the New Era on each tribe. I think Genevieve and Dee is the best. I think you're right. That's the best thing for both of them, because out of all the women on this cast, I think they're the most threatening from day one to day 30 or to day 26. Or I'm almost at 39. What am I, dumbass? Day 26. Because like Ceri doesn't become a threat till day 20, right? When she starts getting closer to the end, you don't mind keeping Ceri around early because she's a bigger target than you. And if you can get the final six with Ceri, you know, they're going to be looking to vote Ceri out at six instead of you. That's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Dee and Genevieve are threats from day one because they are a threat to get into an alliance, to make some things happen, to cause some chaos, then get to the merge. They're both pretty good at challenges. They can both do some things. So I think that them being on the same starting tribe would be good for sure. Emily and Genevieve, I don't see them putting on the same tribe to start.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, like, to me, if I look at this cast of like the New Era women, Genevieve's probably got to be on there with, like, I don't know, maybe she doesn't have to be on there with one of the stronger. I was going to say she probably has to be on there with like Savannah or Tiffany or D. That would be my opinion on who she would have to be with. Like, and I'm assuming Savannah's better at challenges just based on looking at her. Cause I think that it's like, if you were to divide this, right, there's eight New Era women. No, six. There's six.
Mm.
So you have Emily, Camilla, and Genevieve, in my opinion, who are being lumped as like the puzzle people and like weaker physically. And then you have Savannah, Dee, and Tiffany who are on the other side. So to me, Genevieve's going to get either Savannah, Dee, or Tiffany. Tiffany's a nightmare scenario for Genevieve, not because they won't get along, but because Genevieve remains the biggest threat, if that's the case. Whereas with Dee, that wouldn't be the case, in my opinion.
Yeah, I actually feel really – I love Tiffany, so I'm excited she's back. And I think she's in a really good situation because of her cast – people are going to, like, out of her, the trio that she's in, I think people will not target her. I think they'll focus more on Q or Charlie. And out of the New Era women, I think she's kind of like the exercise we did with that bottom seven, like out of her, Camilla, Emily, Dee, and Genevieve, I would say she's the least threatening, but she also, I thought she was a really good player. She doesn't have the, like, the name that the others do, and that's huge for her.
Is she's one or two moves away from winning her season,
mm-hmm.
or at least getting to like final three on her season. But because she's eighth place, worst position out of anybody on this cast for their first season, other than Jenna Lewis, but Jenna Lewis comes back and plays and gets third.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
Right. So it's a bad position for her, but you know, people might overlook how good of a game she could have played. And I think Savannah is just automatically a bigger threat than Tiffany because they don't know Savannah. That makes her a threat. Not knowing makes you a threat for sure coming into the season because you just can't let that happen.
Yeah. This season also, I wonder if the players are like playing with the gravity of the fact that it's season 50. You know, I bet they are. And I think that will, unfortunately for them, be very held against the 49 cast.
I agree too. I agree with that. I mean, and I think some of these players like Coach, Colby, Ozzy, Ceri, Stephanie, I think there is going to be this like, I want to play with the old schoolers. Screw these new people. I don't care about them. Like I want a legend, air quotes, to win.
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder, like, the old school still seems very, I guess maybe it's 50-50. They seem like they're in a minority, which makes me nervous, like in like a winners at war kind of way. But I do wonder if they will have, like, Jonathan is New Era, but I could see him acting in like an old school and wanting to play with them. You know, I loop David versus Goliath into this old school. Emily, I could see, you know, I think it's honestly, it's more just 48 and 49 specifically that are in trouble.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how I feel too. Cause 48 is fresh in people's minds. 49 is an unknown. I mean, at the end of the day, like, yeah, the old schoolers feel like they're threatening and all, but like, why are you voting out Colby in 21st place? Like,
right.
What is Colby going to do to hurt your game? If I'm coming out there as a New Era person, I'm saying I want to link up with whatever old school players are on my cast because with the exception of Aubrey and Christian, and even Christian really just had idols that helped him. None of these players, and Suri, obviously, but Suri's different. None of these players are known so much for their strategy. They're known more for their physical, right? Like,
yeah.
Chrissy won 4 challenges. Devins wins 4 challenges. Ozzy won 5 challenges. Colby won 5 challenges. Stephanie barely won any challenges, but she's still a physical beast. Like, Coach was good at challenges. Jenna Lewis, what kind of strategy are you really implementing in season 1 and season 8? Not one that's on par with these seasons. And then Angelina and Mike White, maybe they're not viewed as strategists or physical. But they lost at their final tribal council. So it's like, whatever. I don't know.
Yeah. This is not a connection, but I can't say I'm shocked, but this 24 people in 26 days feels insane. So I also feel like it is ridiculous. These players are not going to have a minute to think. So I also I fear that this connection building is just not going to really happen either. So I feel like you're going to have to find people quick.
Yeah. I feel like the thing is, like, I've been talking a lot about how I think it's just going to be double boots the entire pre-merge.
Okay.
So you're going to get 6 tribal councils, and it's going to be 12 tribal councils in the first 6 episodes to cut it down to 12. What I do think that means is you're probably looking at the same day situation. So like, in season 48, just for, as an example, day 3 was the first boot. Day 5 was the second boot. Day 7 was the third boot. Day 9 was the fourth boot. Day 11 was the fifth boot. Day 13 was the sixth boot. And then we were at final 12, and that was your merge portion from 7 on, right?
Mm-hmm.
For me, episode 7 on, that is. But for me, I think that we're probably going to see a similar timeline to that. It's just that now, instead of 2 tribes being safe, it's only going to be 1. So I still think the first tribal council probably happens on day 3, but there's 2 tribal councils that day. So you still have the same amount of time that 48 had to bond with your initial tribe, but you have the worst scenario of you have a 2/3 chance of going to tribal every single week, which makes it scarier, right? So, you know, when you look at Vula from this season, where it was like they lost the first 3 challenges, the original Vula tribe, that means everybody else had 9 full days to get to know each other before they had to do anything. That's not going to happen on this season. So you're right. The bonds are going to have to be a little bit snappier. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a really good point. I think, like, just from a viewing experience, like the double boots for the pre-merge is going to be like, it's just too tight. There's just no way around it. But at least maybe we won't get the final 4 fire making, but who knows, Phil?
That's true. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen.
Are we going to get the results? Are they going to give us the results? No way.
I don't know if Jeff's going to tell us off the bat or if he's going to wait. I'm curious to see how that's going to end up happening. I am curious about that.
I hope they show the results. Like, not we voted this way or not. I want like percentages. I want to know how many people voted for this. They'll never do
I would
that.
Love. I would love to know that too, but I don't think that's going to happen either. My thing is, like, are we going to find out final 4 fire making is in or out of the game on day 1, or is Jeff going to wait until that episode and we're going to find out alongside the players?
Oh my God. Chrissy would actually die.
I keep saying Suri's going to be the one who loses and gets voted out at 4 because there is no fire and she's going to go home 3-1.
I know that's, but you know what? It's at least it's what people wanted, but that would actually be unbelievably funny. You have,
yeah.
It's like Chrissy and Suri in the final 4. I think that'd be unbelievably fun. That would be ironic. That would. But I'd imagine that we'd, for the final 4 fire making, we'd have to find out, or I'd be able to find out everything during the premiere because the players should know about this stuff.
No, they're not telling them. That's the thing. That was Jeff's whole thing, is they're not going to tell them what things hit, so that they don't know what game they're playing, but the fans are in control of it. That was the whole thing. So they're not going to know about final 4 fire making until they get the final 4 tribal council.
Oh, how interesting.
Yeah.
So what else is, there's idols or no idols, which is,
there's going to be idols. Yeah. That would be.
Yeah. And then what was it like being advantage forward or not? I know that was one you put a video on.
And then there was Live Reunion, which won't matter until we're all trying to get tickets to Los Angeles
yeah.
in 2026.
Yeah.
I know. My anniversary always falls around when the finale is. So happy anniversary, Rachel. We're going to the 50 finale. We probably won't get into the 50 finale, but we're just going to go hang out at the bar and wait for the cast to show up. That's what we're doing for our anniversary.
I think that's a true show of love.
Is that romance?
I think that's love.
Yeah, I mean, but you're also a diehard Survivor fan, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Rachel doesn't hit that. Rachel's still wondering why Terry Deeds isn't on this cast. So that's what I live with on a day-to-day basis.
She's getting there.
Yeah, that's what I live with.
Hey, she loves Terry Deeds. That's why you two are married.
Did you know I love Terry, Alexa? I know.
You've never talked about him in your life.
I never mentioned that. Every time you said Panama was your favorite season, and I'm like, can't be. Terry doesn't win. You're like, shut up. All right. Well, we've hit an hour 15 or almost an hour 15. I feel like we've gone through all the connections. Alexa, are you prepared to make a prediction here of who you think's going to win the season? Here, let me take this off so that it's close on your face.
My
Alexa,
God.
Who do you think's going to win the season?
Who I think? Oh, my God. I'm going to double down on Chrissy. I think I picked her as my winner for 35. I think season 50, I think this final tribal council vote will absolutely be influenced by the fact that it's season 50 and they want a good representative. And I think that Chrissy, without having watched the game that she is actively playing, I think she represents a lot of the growth that comes with Survivor. She's from a middle ground, in terms of popularity. She's from a very controversial season. She's not new era. She's not old school. I vote for Chrissy.
Okay, there you go. Alexa's winner pick.
Who do you think's gonna win?
I'm all in. All of a sudden, I'm in on Devins. I didn't think that's where I was gonna go, but I'm now in on Devins. He's not threatening. He's not threatening. Like he's just not threatening, right? Like he didn't play that good of a game in Edge of Extinction. He just got a bunch of idols and won a bunch of immunities, which people aren't going to think of him as immunity threat when you look at some of the other people. Great confessional giver, really social, really personable. I think he's going to do well. Stephen Holt says we haven't discussed Charlie. Did we not talk about Charlie?
Oh my gosh.
Did we not talk about Charlie Q and Tiffany more thoroughly?
We didn't really talk about Charlie, and candidly, we didn't talk about Devins very much either. Which speaks to your assessment of him as a winner.
Yeah. Okay. Well, real quick then, if we're going to talk about Charlie, I don't think he gets on a tribe with Q and Tiffany. Is there any chance that there's an on fire alliance and that they put Charlie with Devins or with
D? I actually bet that on fire alliance could happen with any of those three. I think Charlie's going to do well. I don't know what happened where people on the internet like suddenly find him uninteresting. I don't really know like where or when that happened. I don't know. I think he's going to do well. I thought people really liked him. I don't think he's going to be a massive threat. I don't think people are going to look at him as like the should have won his season. I don't know how that season's perceived, but I think generally people are really happy with Kenzie as a winner. So I don't think he's going to have the, like, I can't think of someone to compare him to off the top of my head, but he'll be fine.
Here's what I think with Charlie. And it's kind of like similar to what you're saying, but a little bit different. I feel like Jenna will end Charlie's ass. I feel like a lot of people feel that in like the regular show feel that Charlie should have beaten Kenzie. But then a lot of that is also like they don't necessarily overly respect Kenzie's game. It's not that they think Charlie played a great game. They just think he should have beaten Kenzie. So then I think that there's a little bit of ego that goes into some of these people's minds where it's like, well, if he couldn't beat Kenzie, how's he going to beat me? And I do think that's the wrong way of looking at it, which could allow Charlie to get a little bit further in the game. Because I do think Kenzie's a very good winner. And I do think Charlie's a very deserving runner up. But I actually think that those two are maybe being a little bit downplayed coming into the season, which is actually going to help Charlie's threat level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. So I think also people are going to be talking about Q on his season, you know, and I don't know, were he and Tiff even aligned? Like I could actually see the two of them doing pretty well together.
Yeah, I don't know if him and Tiff will ever be on the same tribe, but if they both make it to the merge, I could absolutely see the two of them probably playing together.
Yeah, I bet they would do pretty well together.
Yeah, I think they would.
Cool. Oh, sorry, Charlie. Yikes.
I mean, we talked about him because we did talk about the Ben Katzman alliance. So he was in there.
Okay.
He was
in okay. There. You're right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's in there.
Okay. So you think Devin's is winning. I think Chrissy's winning. Who do the other teammates, who does Tegwith and Will and Blake think's going to win?
I think Tegwith's in on Tiffany. Will thinks it's going to be Coach. And Blake, I think, is saying Q or Angelina. I forget which one he's landed on, but he's just so diehard that Q or Angelina is going to win.
That completely tracks. Yeah.
Yeah. So Blake's just all in on that. I think he's going that way. So we'll see how it goes, though. I'm excited to see how it's going to shake out. I think it's going to be really exciting. And, you know, 40 is interesting because 40 had maybe the most satisfying winner you could ever ask for that type of monumental season. But the season as a whole felt disappointing to me.
Yeah.
Unlike Heroes versus Villains, which maybe didn't have what felt like a super satisfying winner at the time, but is also like the best season. And I think that 50 has this weird middle ground of like the journey could just be fun and we could be into it because it's a better cast than Game Changers, but it doesn't have that iconic feel coming into it. So I think a lot of people have an ability to just kind of forge their own path here and become like that next, get themselves into that next tier of Survivor because they're on 50. That could be huge.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm excited for it. It's like, to go back to where we started, like it's not what I wanted, but it doesn't make it not Survivor 50, you know? Yeah. And I still like when I go player by player, I'm really excited. It's when I look at the whole that I'm just like, I don't really know how we got here, yeah. But it's like, it's tapping into a little bit of everything. So I'm really excited. I think they're doing a really fun job promoting it too. I like Jeff FaceTiming us way too close to his face that like the challenge just ended. Like I'm eating it up, you know, it's awesome. And it sounds like the specialist is doing really well too throughout all this. So I'm happy to keep coming back. There's so much to talk about with this, but it also is like so wrong that we have to wait a year for it.
I know. That like
it's
we're
so bad.
I mean, I love that it's getting me through the summer. It's awesome because you know our summers were always so dead. And
desperate.
Now I'm doing a couple live episodes here and there. I know we have something coming up with Survivor Analytics, who was just in the chat here. That's gonna be happening. Looks like we have a podcast with Bloom coming up. McKenna, yes. John, and I are going to be doing a Brant steal. I don't know if anybody else is going to jump in on that from the thing, but we're going to do a Brant steal with the cast. We have a lot of podcasts coming out. And then on top of that, we're doing Everything You Need to Know About. We've already put out two episodes. Joe comes out on Thursday at 1 p.m. We're going to keep, awesome. We have one for all 22 players, and then we're going to get to Riz, God, and Savannah once we get after 49. John, McKenna, and I are going to start recording our defining episodes for each player, and then we're gonna start putting those out too. So like we have so much stuff, which is great to get me through the summer, because normally the summer we're putting out three episodes and it's like, Alexa, you want to do a podcast on like July 18th, and you're like, how about I go to the beach and we do this, yeah, on the 19th, because I don't feel like this being a, you know, 400 view podcast that we just wasted our Wednesday night on. But this is like, it's crazy. I mean, people are so excited for it, and it's making it exciting to talk about, and it's fun. And like, yeah, if you haven't checked out the Ozzy and Suri episodes, go check those out and get ready for Joe on Thursday at 1 o'clock. That's going to be a lot
awesome.
Of fun.
There's so much. And like, you're right. Like this is still invigorating people in the 49 cast reveal. I feel bad. Like, I feel like no one's even going to bat an eyelash at it, but like I was on Survivor Reddit like early this afternoon before we went on, and there's like a 3,000 upvotes on a photo of Amanda. Like people want as much content as they possibly can get about this stuff. And honestly, like the spoilers and the fact that, I guess it's not even spoilers, the fact that the players are coming out and saying that they were involved in casting is actually like, I'm shocked they're allowed to do that. Maybe they don't care. I love that for them. It's breaking a fourth wall that a lot of us like really need, and it feels good.
It does. I agree with you. I think it's awesome that they're just like, yeah, I was in it and I got cut. And it's like, you know what? Let us know who was close so that maybe CBS and Survivor and casting and stuff can be like, wow, people were really bummed that we didn't get Penner and Amanda on this season. Maybe we should try to fight to get them on another season. People are really pissed about Carolyn and Jesse. Maybe we should try to get them on another season. Like, I think that there's opportunities here, and I think that would be fun. And Survivor AU versus the World is premiering at some point. Some people are saying it's June 22nd, but I don't think that's actually like confirmed. And McKenna and I are going to be doing a podcast, looks like next Wednesday, about the cast for that and everything. Everybody knows the cast, but we're going to just dissect it. We might have a guest for that.
What US survivors are going to be on expected. That? Ooh, a guest. What US survivors?
Tony Cerie Parvati?
Oh, gosh.
Tony Cerie Parvati?
Cerie is freaking
Alexa,
everywhere.
Alexa, where the hell have you been? What's going on?
Where has Cerie been?
Everywhere. That's why I'm not pumped for Cerie on this season. I want to be so much more excited, but she's just on everything.
I know. That's disappointing. Maybe I'll watch for Parvati. Huh.
Right, don't do that, Alexa. Come on.
No, I mean, maybe I'll watch. Maybe I'll watch. I like Australian Survivor.
I don't know if you know this because you didn't know who was on AU versus the World, but I've been locking myself in the room, kind of like how I locked you in the basement to watch all the seasons when you first started doing the podcast. I am on Heroes versus Villains of Australian Survivor, and I've been putting it out on the Patreon. So the first episode of Heroes versus Villains comes out on Friday, where I talk about the first three episodes.
This is growth right here. I love it.
Oh, I've watched all of it. And then we did Brains vs. Brawn 2 live, McKenna and I. We did it every week. So I'll tell you what, I've watched a lot of Australian Survivor, and I'm so excited to be done with Titans versus Rebels so that I can breathe. Because I'm watching like three episodes a week of that, and they're so damn long.
They're so long. It's like watching Big Brother, but it's actually good. It's such a time commitment.
It is. Have you watched them all?
No, I've only watched like the popular seasons, but I really like Australian Survivor. I remember like it was pulling teeth to get me to do it. Yeah. And you were like swearing up. You were like, I'll never do it. So I'm so happy you're locked in the basement watching them.
I talked to Johnny Fairplay and he was like, man, just put it on your Patreon. And I was like, Fairplay, that's the smartest thing you've ever said to
me. That's a great idea. Right.
I was like, I don't like, it was too much of a time commitment. I was like, now I don't have to record. I don't have to figure it out. It's like, I'll just put it out on Fridays. Every Friday. I've been doing it for like a year and a half now. Just like Friday. I know. That's what I'm saying. I've been watching nonstop Australian Survivor. I had to go through 8 seasons. I mean, I have 9 seasons, I think. Like, I had a lot of Survivor to watch, and they're all 24 episodes.
Oh my God. That is too much. Yeah. They're such a time commitment. What is it? Oh, Love Island. It's like Love Island level.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so crazy. Wow. I love that for you.
Well, yeah. I love it for me when it's going to be over. I'll feel like I accomplished something. It's going to be such a glorious feeling. You know what you should do, Alexa, if you really want to, like, if you're like ever feeling down about yourself and you're just like, I want to really hate the next 24 hours of my life, watch Blood versus Water. The Australian Survivor Blood versus Water.
The one with Sandra.
It's so bad. It's worse than advertised. It is one of the most brutal seasons of Survivor. I honestly put it down there with like, One World, Redemption Island type shit. That's so amazing. Bad. And it's like the cast for some of them are like okay, but for the most part, it's brutal. So I made it through that. I can make it through anything.
That's beautiful. And look, you've come out stronger on the other side.
It's still not as bad as 41, though.
Never.
All right, here we are.
Well, it sounds like I'm going to be coming back for Cerie's boot episode. So
that's what Pauly Luce wants here. He also
sounds good to me.
Saying was Alexa's first episode season 33 or 34 because I was here, period. So your first full season was 34, but I think your first episode was during 32.
Actually. Right. Because I remember I came in and my first few seasons were just like not very good.
I think you just did a random episode that Will couldn't do either during 32 or 33. I'm like, you want to try this? And then he went and worked on the show and it was like, all right, now you're like doing it all the time. And you're like, okay. So, I mean, Alexa did 11 seasons, 12 seasons.
I did. I know. I loved it. I miss it. I miss it. I definitely like, I'm not really in a situation where I could commit to the time that I used to, but I, like Phil said, I didn't join last season for like no fault of anyone, but I'm definitely going to be knocking on the door and hoping I get some calls because even for 49, I know, but they need some love too. But this has been awesome. This has been super fun. I'm going to go on. I should go to bed, but I'm probably just going to go troll Survivor Reddit a little bit more now.
We'll get you on. I think Alexa said that every week she wants to do an hour-long podcast where she just talks about everything Riz God did.
Yeah.
That's all she wants. And she's going to do it alone. She's just going to ping up pictures, screenshots from the episode of just Riz God. What did he do?
It's nothing. I'm actually going to rewatch the 49 trail. I actually queued that up because I only watched it when the finale happened. Mm-hmm. And then I've just seen all the Riz God memes. And I'm like, I gotta, like, how, what was his tone of voice when he said, like, I gotta re-listen to him calling himself this. I need to analyze it. I'll do a podcast about it.
I know. Well, that's what you're going to do. Riz God updates Twitter account owner, James Barber says. That's going to be Alexa. Yes, we will have Alexa. Yeah, we will have Alexa on for sure in the future for some 49, 50 stuff. I know 48 just kind of got out of control. Also, 48 with the Traders, Dondi, Australian Survivor, and US Survivor all on at the same time. While I was also trying to write articles for March Madness and was getting like 25 a week on top of my regular job, that was the literal worst time ever from a busyness standpoint. So I wasn't exactly like, hey, Alexa, what's going on? Now I can breathe though. So we can start doing that. So that's good.
That's awesome.
Thank you all for listening. Like this video, subscribe to the channel. Make sure you follow us on social media because stuff's just going to be coming out random. Make sure you go over and get the notify me thing going. Hit that bell so you can find out when these other episodes are going to be dropping for everything you need to know about. And then I think either on Friday or starting next week, we're going to start dropping the defining episodes of each player. And pretty much we're going to be putting out 4 episodes a week just of everything you need to know about. There'll be 2 a week. And the defining episode, there will be 2 a week. And then on top of that, we'll have these other episodes. Like I said, the Brandt Steel, Survivor Analytics. It looks like we're going to get Mike Bloom on for something. Although maybe he won't want us because neither one of us knew that Sharon Tharp was his publisher, but, but yeah, so we'll see how that all goes and stay tuned. It's going to be a busy June, a busy July, a busy August, Survivor AU versus the world, all this stuff. It's going to be unbelievable. So thank you all. And become a patron, patreon.com/specialist. Go listen to us talk about all things. We're getting into Heroes versus Villains actually on Thursday the 19th. That'll be our first episode for Heroes Villains for Every Season Matters. And then I got Australian Survivor. Like I said, I'm into Heroes versus Villains of that. How timing just works. So
my God.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
That's all I got.
So much going on.
I know, isn't it? Isn't